for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, September the 1st, 2000. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. John Nelson is the speaker of the morning.
In Psalms 118, it is a chapter that tells of the betrayal and the Last Supper. In other words, this is the day they sang that. Matthew said they sang a hymn and went out. Well, they sang Psalms 118, this is the day the Lord has made. It's a crucifixion day, for we say, not my will, but thy will be done. Sometimes we think, well, everything's going to be all right, but it's a day when we die out to his will. Father, this is the day, and we thank you, Lord, for this meeting and the anointing of the Lord upon this service. And I thank you, Lord, for the staff and for these ministries of praise and worship and the glory of God around the administration of the Millers and all the staff. We praise you, Lord. We plead the blood. Amen, amen. The anointing will break the yoke, and many will be set free, for this is their and our day. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
I feel Jesus.
Just lift your hand and feel him this morning.
I feel Jesus.
He's all over this place this morning.
I feel Jesus in this place.
He's in you, he's in me today.
And my soul does burn within me. I feel Jesus in this place.
One more time.
Feel Jesus.
You love him this morning?
I feel Jesus.
Lord, we love you today.
I feel Jesus in this place. And my soul does burn within.
Your hearts be lifted up into Zion, for the tabernacle of David is being restored. And the anointing of my peace shall be upon my people. So shout unto the Lord thy God, for yea, the Most High God is among you. Therefore the authority of the tabernacle of David shall be restored, and the anointing of the fivefold deliverance of the Lord shall come upon all my people. For this is the day the authority of my peace is upon you. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph, for the enemy is defeated. The horse. The horse and the rider is in the sea. Shall I say, the glory of the trumpet of the...
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
The trump of the Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I feel that word with the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Everybody take your right hand, put it on your forehead, for in the book of Ezekiel, God sealed Ezekiel's forehead and countenance, and then he told him, no other forehead's going to rob you of what I've called you to do. So we're sealed this day, Father. Seal every forehead with the anointing of divine utterance and deliverance. And I thank you, Lord. The King of the Lord is among us, and his beloved shall come out of the wilderness into the glory. Hallelujah. Under the hoopah of the firmament of the ages. We shall see signs and the wonders and wonders all around the universe and in our land. It is the day the authority has been given unto us this day. No other forehead's going to rob us. Hallelujah. 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 Andarabash, andarabahanda. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning thy song shall rise to thee. Merciful, merciful and mighty God in three persons, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
You know, when I was a minister in the Church of Christ, I used to preach against this. Well, you know, the Holy Ghost has a way of straightening out your stinking thinking. And, you know, he finally got through to me. And, you know, I began to realize that, you know, it's all right to play and sing at the same time. See, it's all right for me to play back then and or to sing, but not together. You know, you weren't supposed to do them both at the same time. See, and you know, I finally got it that the Holy Spirit, you know, it kind of indicated to me it's all right to do them both together. See, and I said, well, Lord, I'll quit criticizing my Baptist friends, you know, Methodist friends, and you know, folks like that. Now, I don't know whether I'd have been willing to stop criticizing the Pentecostals. If I'd known about them, I probably would have been just willing to go ahead and criticize them, you know. But what I knew was, you know, Baptist, Methodist, that sort of thing. And I said, I'll quit criticizing them. And God said, that's not enough. Hallelujah. And I said, well, Lord, I sound like a hillbilly. And he said, that's because you are one. So you have it on good authority. I am one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like a wayward child, like a beast that's wild, I ran from you, Heavenly Father. But you look for me, you long to set me free. I just couldn't see why you'd bother. Loving and kind are you to send into the world your word of redemption. And in Jesus' name
You remove my shame and you draw me unto you. Eat your heart out, Chad. Though we brought you grief with our unbelief, still you sent freely, Heavenly Father. When all hope is gone, you look down from your throne, send the seed that keeps on living water. Loving and kind are you to send into the world your word of redemption. And in Jesus' name you remove my shame and you draw me unto you. I should never forget, and I should even set my heart on you, Heavenly Father. And in Jesus' love, I can look up above and not have to depend on another. Loving and kind are you to send into the world your word of redemption? And in Jesus' name, you remove my shame and you draw me unto you.
Hallelujah. You know, Ronnie always asked me to sing this song. It's one of, you know, my number one national big hit. You know,
hallelujah. A friend of mine, God found him in the mental ward of a veterans hospital. Drugs and the Vietnam War just driven him out of his mind. And in fact, when I met him, he couldn't put two sentences together and make sense. But he could surely praise God. Because God had met him in that hospital and said, "Now, Gene, if you'll praise me, I'll hear your mind." And Gene was a Catholic boy, you know, that just believed whatever God told him. You know, there's something funny about Catholic folk. You might criticize them, but I want to tell you something. They receive from God. They receive from God. And so this brother received, and my, he can praise God. One day his enemy said, "You know, my folk can prove I'm crazy." And I said, "Well, I hope they don't try to straighten you out." Hallelujah. And, you know, as I was driving down the road, thinking about how my folks thought I was crazy. Yeah, well, no, they didn't think I was crazy. They said, "You're losing your mind." It wasn't no thinking about it. You know, they just said, "You're crazy. You're losing your mind." I said, "Well, I hope so." You know, if what I had was my mind, I'm glad to be losing it. Yeah. You know? Amen. And so, you know, as I was driving down the road contemplating this, meditating on it, you know, the Lord gave me this song. "Oh, they tell me I'm crazy, that I've lost my mind. I talk about Jesus most all of the time. But it doesn't matter what they say about me. My mind had me bound up and he set me free. So I don't want my mind. I'd rather be free. I've had all the care for of their sanity. And if this is crazy, just let me be.
I'm already committed. Don't you worry about me. Now, I don't want my mind. It's not worth the call to have their respect, but still to be lost. For what's wrong with my mind? Lord, I found a cure. I give up my mind and let you give me yours. So I don't want my mind. I'd rather be free. I've had all the care for of their sanity. And if this is crazy, just let me be. I'm already committed. Don't you worry about me. Yes, I'm already committed. Don't you worry about me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. You use a mule, a donkey, I suppose. And he can use a guy from Missouri. Hillbilly type. Amen. Brother Ronnie says, though, that I'm an honorary Cajun. And I'm glad to be that. One of the best experiences in my life was to have God send me from the Ozark Mountains down to the Bayou Country in Louisiana to minister to Catholic folks about the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's been more fun these last few years than I could just ever have imagined, because the folks that grew up around those bayous, they live and, you know, rather simply and this sort of thing. But by the way, they got it up here. And they have some of the, you know, they have the greatest sense of humor you'll ever find anywhere. And, of course, I like that. I enjoy laughing. You know, the Word of God says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So I enjoy laughing at us, you know. We're kind of funny when you think about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know, in the book of Isaiah, the 54th chapter and the 17th verse, there's a statement by Isaiah the prophet when he was speaking to us, you know, when the Lord was speaking to us through Isaiah about this time that we have entered into. You know, he's talking about the coming of Jesus and the ushering in of this particular time. And there he said, concerning us, now I didn't realize when I first read it that it pertained to us. You know, I thought it pertained to the Jewish people, but God said, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that is raised against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of God, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. But of course, again, when I first read that, in my denomination, they wouldn't let me believe anything I read in the Old Testament. Well, you know, I mean, I could believe it, this sort of thing, but it certainly didn't apply to me. And so, you know, I just read it with great hunger and just wish that did apply to me. But then, you know, I realized one day that, well, it's talking about the servant of the Lord. You know, it doesn't put any dispensational timeline. They're just said, this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. So I started laying claim to what was said there based on that principle. But still a little shaky there, you understand. But then I discovered something. In the book of Romans, the fourth chapter, and then, in the book of Galatians,
Paul talks about Abraham. And he points out to us there in Romans, the fourth chapter, that his faith, the Word of God says he considered not his own body now dead, neither Sarah's womb being dead also, but considered him who calleth those things that be not as though they were. And, goes on to tell us that because he had that kind of faith, he became the father of the kind of faith that would cause us to hear about and accept Jesus without having to put our fingers in the prints in his hand and thrust our hands into his side, as Thomas did. The father of our faith. The father of our faith. And then he goes on to say, in Galatians, the third chapter, there in the very last verse, 27th verse, if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
Amen.
Hey, I'm Christ. Amen. You know, there are a lot of things I don't know. In fact, I get in a group like this and I feel like, well, I'm probably the least spiritual character in this whole group. Probably the least knowledgeable. I don't think necessarily I'm lacking in intelligence, just don't have a lot of knowledge. And, seems like a lot of folks around just know a lot more than I do. But there's one thing I do know. I belong to him. Body, soul, and spirit. I belong to him. I'm his servant. I'm his bond slave. And by the way, there's nothing grudging about that. I freely enter into that relationship. And, have no doubts about it, have no questions about it. I belong to him. I'm Christ, Lord of God. Of course, there's another side of that, too. He's mine. I like both those. But if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. Well, then I go back to what God said to Abraham when he was still Abram. And, for the sake of time, we'll just paraphrase what was said there in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis to our father Abraham. But it is said there to him, I will bless you, and I cause you to be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That belongs to me. In other words, I can go back there, and I can put my name right there. John, I will bless you. John T, I will bless you. And he does. He does. I've heard a lot of ministry about prosperity and that sort of thing. A lot of it I do take with a grain of salt, but, I believe the principle very much. If someone should ask me, I tell them, I'm rich. You mean you've got a lot of money? Well, I didn't say that. I just tell you I'm rich. God says I am, so I am.
That's right.
In fact, I've had people tell me, I'm broke. I tell them, I don't necessarily have any money, but I'm not all broke up about it. I found out that you can be in desperate circumstances and don't have to be desperate because, you've got a promise from God.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
God says, I will bless you, John. And I say, Lord, I receive that.
Yes.
And do you know, I am blessed.
Yes.
I am
blessed. I am blessed. Now, you know, as I've grown older in time, I've seen a lot of the things that I've considered to be important become much less important. I've seen things that seem to have a great deal of value to me come to the point of having less and less value. But there's one thing that that I've always appreciated more than anything I've had in this life, and that's my children. You know, I read the Word of God where it says children are a blessing from the Lord. And, you know, I look around and friends have children. You know, I've been in pastoral ministry for 40-something years and dealt with a lot of families with children. And, you know, I've read that scripture that says children are a blessing from the Lord. And I realize that in every sense they don't seem to be a blessing to everyone. But do you know, God has blessed me. I have children that, as far as I know, four children that, as far as I know, have never smoked a cigarette and never drank a drop of liquor, never taken illicit drugs. By the way, you know, I don't take credit for that because I know good parents that have children do all those things. I just thank God for it. You understand? Thank God for it. But, oh, it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. See, these kids were brought up under a certain standard that I'd learned from my parents. And my parents taught me that you applied the rod of correction to the seed of understanding. And, you know, I'd read in the scripture where it says, spare the rod and spoil the child. And I didn't want rotten kids. So, you know, I use the rod, and you know where it do the most good, and you know, kind of made these kids mind. You made them go to church. In fact, made them go to church where I went.
Yeah.
Made them go to church every time I went to church.
Amen.
And man, I church every time the doors open. Four kids sitting there all lined up on a pew beside me, and my friend said, hey, you know you're ruining them kids. They'll hate church. I said, well, I don't know what they'll do when they get older, but right now I'm in charge. And as long as I'm in charge, they're going to church where I go to church. They can make up their own minds about it when they get out of my house. And by the way, still a rule in my house. I mean, if you're 40 years old and you're my kid living in my house, you go to church where I go to church when I go to church.
That's right.
You understand? You don't bring in records that have, you know, a bunch of junk on them. You know, and you don't bring stuff into my house that that I don't bring into my house. You understand? And my kids know that. But you know something? They go to the same church I made them go to.
Yeah.
They're involved. I mean, you know, they're involved in that same church. In fact, I've got some twin girls that are 30-something, you know, and a boy that's 30-something, and he pastors the church. And they go to it, and you know, they told me one day, said, Daddy, you know, we believed in God because you did, but then we came to know Him for ourselves. And now we believe in Him because we know Him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Understand? Oh, you can't buy that.
That's right.
You can't buy that.
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Four children. Every one of them a tongue talking. You know, desiring to be water walking.
Yeah.
Christians. Turned on to God. Here again, the son that grew up, and everybody saying that, you know, you're ruining that kid. They said that he's going to rebel. He's going to rebel. Well, you know, he got a little hot under the collar a time or two or three. I didn't let it bother me. I just kept telling him, well, you know, I'm still in charge. I'm still bigger than you are. And then he grew up, got to be bigger than I was. By that time, you know, the war was over. You understand? Thank God. But now he's pastoring the church. He said, when I grow up, I'm telling you, I'm going to do what I please. Well, what he's pleasing to do right now is pastor that church that had to go to.
Hallelujah.
That's a blessing.
That's good.
Yes.
You know, I have grandchildren. 18-year-old grandson, very much involved in the ministry in his church. Mother and father, both involved in the ministry of the church. A little 8-year-old grandson, by the way, Jonathan the Third. You know, I like that. And, being of the personality, you know, and temperament I am, when he was about 3 years old, I went and found one of these little guitars about this long, one that you could play real, and bought it for him. And little Jonathan the Third would get up on his little toy box and strap that thing on. He'd say, now, first of all, I'm going to say a few words. I don't know where he got that. And then I'm going to sing.
Yeah.
And, then he took it to the church, you know, and was going to do a little special for the church. Now, he's 3 years old, you understand. He can't make the chord, but he can keep the proper rhythm. And, he said, I'm going to sing Silver Wings. That's on Paul John's record or tape. And if you don't have that, you ought to get it. I said, boy, let me take that boy around on the road with me. Then when he was 5, he started playing the guitar. Then when he was 7, he led the praise and worship in his daddy's church for 3 weeks in a row. The other day, now he's 8, and the other day he came home and told his dad, he said, well, I've got to preach at the chapel, the school, you know. His daddy said, well, I'll help you, son. He said, I don't need any help. He said, well, no, I understand, you know, but, you know, I'll help you find scripture. And he said, I've got your computer there. I'll find my own scriptures. Well, you know, based on past experience, I just imagine he will.
That's right.
You can't buy that.
That's right.
You can't buy that. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God, you told it like it was. You made me a promise, and it is fulfilled. I am blessed. Glory to God. Now, then God said, I'll cause you to be a blessing. Well, you know, I thought I might have an opportunity to share a little with you. I didn't have any question about whether I'd bless you. See, God just told me I am a blessing. You understand, I'm 207 pounds. Of pure, unadulterated blessing from God turned loose on you. You might as well enjoy me while you got me. You understand? And you know I can really believe that. Because of what God says. See,
You're going to be blessed before you leave here today if you just receive it.
That's right.
You will. Because I'm God's blessing sent to you. Mm-hmm. And so you might as well enjoy me while you got me here. You understand?
Yes.
Glory to God. And so the Lord made a promise. I believe He fulfilled it. You know, I have people calling me from all over this nation to tell me how God has fulfilled the prophetic word that I've spoken into them. And they always end by saying, you know, you're such a blessing. I thank God you kept your promise. I have a little booklet that I've shared with others about how to understand your visions and dreams, because God gave me an understanding of that particular thing years ago. And I've interpreted dreams for ministries and, you know, and people all over the country. And most of them, you know, really didn't think there was any significance to their dreams. In fact, one pastor was telling me, said, you know, I had the strangest dream the other night. No, it doesn't mean anything. And he started telling me what the dream was, and I started telling him what it meant. He said, you know, that was God talking to me. I said, yeah. He said, I thought I'd just had too much pizza before I went to bed. I said, well, you know, pizza might make you remember it, but it doesn't have a thing in the world to do with what you dream. You understand? And, you know, people calling me from all over the nation, either to ask me to help them understand dreams or to tell me how God has blessed them. See, God's kept His word. I'm a blessing. I'm a blessing. You know, and I understand that, you know, God can send you a blessing. You don't have to receive it. You know, I understand that happens, you know, and I just figure, well, if that's the way you want it. But while I'm here, you might as well enjoy me. You understand? Glory to God. Because I'm God's blessing sent of God. You know, God told me several years ago to start telling people I was an apostle. Well, that's a little hard to say, you know. And when He told me that, I had to really get into the Word and see what an apostle is and what he does. And I began to realize, now you see, the word apostle means one sent forth. But then I began to see in the Scripture that He's always sent forth to establish something. He's always sent forth to establish something. You know, not always the same thing, but something. And then God was able to tell me, I'm sending you forth to establish ministry in the body of Christ. Glory to God. And as I've gone forth over the years, I've ministered prophetically into kids that were 10 years old 25 years ago. And those kids are 35 years old now. And I've seen the result of what God had spoken into them. And they've said, Brother John, you were a blessing to my life then and now. And I say, God, you've kept your word. You've kept your word. You promised me I'd be a blessing. And here I have all of these folks confirming what you said. You know, that's better than being blessed. That's what Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And then He said, I will bless those who bless you. Ah, well, that's wonderful. Because, you see, I grew up with a prideful attitude of don't take anything from anybody that you don't earn. And then I got into the Word of God, and you know, I read where give and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I wanted to do the giving, but not the receiving. In fact, when I was in the real estate business, I was at Bethany Church one night. A little widow woman walked up and handed me $10. Well, I said, honey, I don't want to take your $10. And she said, well, the Lord told me to give it to you. And, you know, I continued to try to tell her, no, you need that more than I do. And the Holy Ghost stopped me and said, why are you doing that? I told her to give that to you. If you don't want it, go around the building and give it to someone else. But that's her source. Let her give to you. And then I began to realize that as I serve God, the way I live is by people giving into me that which I can never return. Of course, one of the things I do is sow the seed with expectation. But then I look and see that there have been those that have just sown into myself and my ministry that which I'd never in this world be able to return. But then God says He'll repay them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm the seed of Abraham and an heir according to promise. And so, you know, when someone gives me something that's rather embarrassing for me to receive, I can still just receive it and thank God for it and say, Lord, keep your word and bless them.
Yes.
And been around since, you know, that widow. By the way, if you think I won't take it, don't. You understand? If you do, I'll take it. You understand? Because I found something. That God promises it'll all be repaid. I will bless those who bless you, God says. By the way, you can tell Him He owes you one because you blessed me. I was here last night, here today, in a wonderful spiritual atmosphere. Well, you understand, you couldn't be a bunch of worldly folks and provide such an atmosphere. That's one thing. And that blesses me. And then you're here. You know, I'd have been disappointed this morning to get up with all of this good word to give somebody and you weren't here. I'd have been real disappointed. But you're here. You're here. And so I'm blessed. I've got a word to bring and someone to bring it to.
That's right.
You're sitting there listening, paying attention, receiving it. And, you know, at an odd moment, you'll remember a little snippet from what I'm telling you. And they'll be meaningful in your life. And I'm blessed, because I have that privilege. I'm blessed. And, you know, you're the source of that blessing, and so God owes you one. You just, you just tell Him next time you talk it over with Him, now Lord, you said that you would bless those who bless Him, And He's declared that I blessed Him, so you owe me one. Thank you, I'll receive it.
Amen.
And you will be blessed. You will be blessed. You know, it just gets better, doesn't it? Starts out good and just gets better.
Amen.
You know, I get blessed, then I become a blessing. And then God blesses those who bless me. Glory to God. Glory to God. It just don't get better than that. You understand? But then there's a little change in tone here. God says, I will curse those who curse you. You know, that's probably one of the most misunderstood statements you'll find. Because we don't understand what a curse is. We liken it to cussing. You know, when I grew up, a guy that didn't know how to express himself cussed.
Well, there might have been a curse in that, but not always. Most of the time, it's just filthy language, you know. Evidence of ignorance and lack of ability to express himself. A curse is a formula. You remember our scripture now? No weapon that is formed against you. A curse is a formula that's made against someone or something. Man, it's so simple and so easy to enter into a curse mode that you don't even think about. You know, you've got a little kid. Man, he's getting on your last good nerve. And, man, you blow your top, and what comes out of your mouth is, "You always." And I assure you that what's on the other end of that always is a formula.
Yes, sir.
Or "You never." And what's beyond that never is a formula. You know, we talk about each other. God ain't going to bless him. That's a formula. He's going to see one of these days. That's a formula.
Yep.
See, it was so simple. When God said concerning that tree in the midst of the garden, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That was a formula. And because Eve was deceived, and Adam didn't want to give up the woman, and deliberately ate of the fruit, we are cursed to this day. Simple formula. When Jesus spoke to that fig tree, sounds almost benign. "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." That's a formula. And because of that formula, that weapon that was formed against that fig tree, the next morning, it was withered from the roots. Now, how do you think then it affects our children? When we make a statement like, "You always do that. You never." And we have profound authority to either bless them or curse them. And we curse them so easily that we don't even think about it. We curse others so easily. "I wish I had his Cadillac and he had a wart on his nose." That's a formula. That's a formula. So easy to enter into. But listen to what God has promised me through my father Abraham. God said to Abraham, "Whoever makes a formula against you, I will put them in it." Now that's translated, or interpreted. "I will curse those who curse you." But what God is saying is, whoever makes a formula against you, I will put them in it. You ever notice that? Someone tries to shoot somebody else out of the saddle, guess who gets shot out?
They do.
You understand? Well, you see, it's God's promise to his children, the seed of Abraham, that whoever makes a formula against them, that one making the formula will be put into the formula that they have made. And that's, that might be all well and good concerning the world around us, but it is not the world that's ready to curse you. In fact, the world doesn't really pay a whole lot of attention to you. You're not doing enough. Powerful enough spiritually to stir them up that much right now. we're beginning to get there, but we're not there yet. But brethren do. The world won't curse you, but your brethren will. Especially if you don't believe exactly what they believe. You know, cross the T's and dot the I's exactly the way they do. They'll make formulas against you. Talk about how you're going to pay. In fact, you know, your brethren will prophesy about you.
Mm-hmm.
Prophesy to you. Kind of like a little lady over in Alabama. Bruton, Alabama. A true story. See, not all my stories are made up. Some of them really happened. You know, Ronnie's uncle really did. Ask a man, hey, you see my cow? And the man said, what's your cow look like? He said, sometimes black, sometimes white. And the guy standing there, you know, with the man in the road that his uncle was talking, he said, what's he talking about? He said, he's looking for a black and white spotted cow. Some of those things really happened. This one really happened. Back in the early 50s, pastor got a TV set. Sister was incensed. And says, thus saith the Lord, I cannot bless thee. No, siree, Bob Teal, I cannot bless thee, saith the Lord. Isn't it thou goddess thy TV set? I cannot bless thee. Thou saidest thou goddess thy TV set to watch the news, but really thou goddess thy TV set to watch I Love Lucy? And I cannot bless thee, no siree, Bob Teal. I cannot bless thee, saith the Lord. Formula.
Amen.
Folks. Yeah. Really happened. Formula. But the irony of it. Here's a little sister that wants her pastor to be pure. And she's figured out that if he's going to watch that old trashy TV set, his mind's not going to be pure, and she's trying to straighten him out. And she speaks into him what the Australians call a boomerang. And what God has said is, to her, I can't bless you. I can't bless you because you're speaking cursing against my child, the seed of Abraham. I don't know if he should be watching I Love Lucy or not. I have occasionally. In fact, you know, if you come by my house, and you know, you'll expect me to be there, reading the Word, I might be watching old John Wayne.
Yeah.
You know, I. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when I read about Elijah and read how James says, you know, he was a man with like passions we have. You know, he's an ordinary person, kind of has the same likes and dislikes that you have, you know, but had strong enough faith that he prayed earnestly that it rained not for the space of 3.5 years. That's the way James expressed it. You know, and I'm thinking about Elijah, and I go over and read about him, in First Kings, you know, and I get to thinking, you know, if he is around today, he'd probably like old John Wayne too. You understand? See, I told you I wasn't real spiritual. But you understand, I know that there are folks that probably would prefer that I, you know, read up. Yeah. But you know something? I'd suggest you just leave it alone. Because the Lord has said something about me that you just can't get around. God says don't make any formulas against him. If you do, I'll put you in them.
Huh. See, that's what Isaiah was talking about. When he said, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that is raised against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Not because you stand up and say, I condemn you, but because of who you are. You're the seed of Abraham. An heir according to the promise of God. The promise of God is, whoever makes a formula against you, I will put them in it. And by the way, not necessarily because you always act right. You know, when I was in my denomination, I was taught that the way I became righteous was by acting right. Made sense to me because I'd been taught to be an actor all my life. Mama would say, Johnny, now don't you act like you did last time. You know, teach me how to act. Now you act right. Yeah. You know. And, you know, yeah, don't act up. And you know, my kids say, well, now, you're not acting like my daddy. You know, I tell them, well, what's your daddy supposed to act like? Now they're saying, why don't you act your age?
Yeah.
I thought I was. You know, I've got this little red convertible. I really do. We got two of them now. One of my children, you know, started driving one. I can't get it back, so I went and bought another one. See, I'd have done that when I was younger, but I couldn't afford it. So now, you know, I let the top down on that convertible and go driving around over the country and waving at folks. And at first, they're looking at me like, why don't that character act his age? Now they just, you know, they've given up on me and they wave back, smile. You know?
They probably think he's running politics.
He needs a job.
But see, it's been taught all my life to act a certain way. Well, you know, I don't know how you act 65. I really don't. I just, you know, there are a lot of things that I like that seem like other folks 65 like, and then there are a lot of things they like I don't, you know, I don't care that much about. You know? So I found out you don't get very far by just acting. In fact, especially when you try to act right. You know, here I had this doctrine that the way you become righteous is by acting right, and I tried and I tried to act right, but the harder I tried, the worse I got. Then finally I discovered the Word. You know, I discovered Isaiah, the 57th chapter, in the 14th verse. Right at the end there, it says, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. And then I discovered what was meant in this parable that we call the parable of the prodigal, by the father saying, bring the best robe and put it on it. See, one day I got tired of saying, well, that means, you know, you were out in the pig pen and God let you come home. Got saved. Well, it'd been a lot more than that. And I started studying what was meant by those five gifts the Father gave to that prodigal son. And I realized that one of them, that robe, Isaiah 61:10, says it's his righteousness. He has, you know, he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of his righteousness. And then I read in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I realized that just as Christ was made sin for me, I am made righteousness in him. And I discovered I am righteous. I am righteous. Not because I act right, but because I'm in him. Now, you'd think, well, you know, that means you just do anything you want to. No, it really doesn't when you think about it. You know, when I was trying to be right by acting right, I couldn't do it. But I noticed that since I changed my self-image and stopped seeing myself as an old sinner, saved by grace. You know, my Baptist friends always tell me that's what I am. I tell them, no, I'm not a sinner. God says I'm a saint. And I'm in Jesus, so I'm the righteousness of God, and I see myself as righteous. And you know, it is just natural for the righteous man to act right. You know, I act right because I see myself differently. You know, I don't not run off with my secretary because, you know, I'm afraid I'll roast in hell over it. I don't do that because I'm a righteous man. Righteous people don't do that. You understand? You know, I see myself different. So I don't see myself stealing the funds out of the church treasury, you know, and running off with my secretary, and you know, and sneaking around and tipping, spirits, the wrong kind. You know, I can assure you, you're never going to see me drunk, because righteous people just don't do that. You understand? I'm not trying to make any points with anybody. Not trying to earn anything. Just see myself in a different way.
That's right.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ, in Him. And therefore, it's just natural for me to act right. I've just noticed that, you know, since I got that understanding, since I began to realize that, hey, Isaiah is talking to me. Their righteousness is of me, saith God. And so, I walk not in my acting, but in God's righteousness. And the end result is I act more right than I ever did before. Glory to God. You know, there's still a few bugs to work out in this thing. You understand? But by the way, we're getting there.
Amen.
You know, I've lived with Sister Winnie for 46 years now, and that's not a record, but it's a good high average, you know. And one thing she'll tell you, she knows all, you know, she knows all the warts and bumps and stuff like that. And she is very willing to, you know, anybody that wants to interview Winnie, she'll be very glad to tell you. Or whatever you want to know, you know, about what's wrong with the prophet. She'll tell you about it, but she will tell you that he's getting better all the time because he's discovered something, that he's the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, she'll admit that.
Amen.
Bless her sweetheart.
Hallelujah.
You know, glory to God. Glory to God. That promise is mine. That promise is mine. That promise is yours. I want to just tell you one more thing. I know that we're into the noon hour, but I want to just mention one more thing to you. You know, this matter of accusing, this matter of judging that is brought up here. Every tongue that is raised against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You know, I've discovered, according to the Word of God, I would probably have seen this just work out
But you understand, I'm more interested in what God says than what my mind will tell me. And in Proverbs, the 27th chapter, the 19th verse, I read this scripture. As in water, face entereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Now, in hillbilly colloquialism, that means when you look in a pool of clear water, the face that's reflected there is the one that's hanging out over the water. Yours. Your favorite one. The one you put the brood on in the morning. The one you girls do all this stuff to. You know, I'm glad you do. I had someone ask me one time, said, you know, they got, evidently they were into this clothesline, you know, sort of thing. And they said, Brother John, you believe in women wearing makeup? I said, I sure do. Man, some of them need help. You know, don't. They've discovered how to kind of straighten some things out. Don't mess with that, you know. Let them fix their face before they present it to the world. I've got to look at them, you understand? But that face, that's the one you're going to see reflected in the water. And the Word of God is saying, just as surely as that face is the one you see reflected, the heart that you see when you look at another person is your own heart, not his.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Huh. Now, you know, this is just not a little fanciful interpretation of a scripture in the book of Proverbs. Listen to what the book of Romans says. Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest another. For wherein thou judgest another, thou doest the same.
Uh-huh.
I've heard a lot of men of God being accused of a lot of things. I don't know what they're guilty of. I only know that the person who does the accusing, according to the Word of God, is doing the thing that he says they are doing. And I always consider the source. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
I suggest you do the same thing.
Amen.
Good word, brother.
Someone comes around telling you that some man of God, you know, or one of your brothers or sisters, is doing something that they ought not be doing. You really don't know about the person you're talking about, but you do know about the person that's talking. I had a fellow tell me one time, you know, because he was quite upset with me. He was a member of my denomination, and he came to hear me preach one night, and I wasn't preaching the doctrine I'd preached before. He said, well, we want to debate you on these issues. I said, forget it. I don't want to argue with you about it. If you want to know what I believe, come and listen. You know, if you want to believe it, fine. If you don't, that's all right. But he said, well, you know, you're a coward. And I had to laugh at that. I said, you know, I grew up in the Ozark Mountains, and the favorite recreation on Saturday night was fighting. And I was out every Saturday night. They had to kind of carry me home some of those nights, but I still went back out every Saturday night, so I don't think being a coward had anything to do with it. You know, being stupid had a lot to do with it, but being a coward wasn't part of it, you understand. But I said, by the way, do you know you just told me you're a coward? What? So I told, you know, I read him that scripture from Proverbs. I said, now you don't know my heart. You don't know me. You've been here in a service for just a few moments. You've listened to some things I've said, but based on these things I've said, you don't know my heart, but you've just revealed your heart to me.
Oh, now.
He brought three other fellows with him the next night, and one of them said, you know, you're stealing from these people, and it kind of tickled me because this was over in Ohio, and I think the offering the night before had been about $45. Well, you know, I never worry about that. Because if it's short on one end, God will make it up on the other.
That's right.
Yeah. But I thought it was rather humorous that here
where, you know, I had that kind of an offering the night before, this brother would tell me how I was stealing from these brethren. I said, "Brother, you don't know my heart. I might be the worst thief you've ever met, but you don't know that. But you just revealed your heart to me. If you were in my position, you'd be stealing from these folks." "What do you mean?" So I read him Romans, the second chapter. I said, "You know, it doesn't say there that you would steal from them. It says you're doing the same thing." I rest my case.
Yes, sir.
Father, we love you.
Praise the Lord.
We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you especially for the blessing that comes out of your promises unto us. We can lay hold on those promises, and we have a surety and assurance that what you have said, you will do. And we thank you for doing it in the name of Jesus, Lord of God. Dress with the flowers on it, would you please come up here?
Hallelujah.
Brother Butch, would you join me here? George Taylor here is a longtime friend. And I've known Butch since he was a Baptist and I was a Church of Christ preacher. And something happened to both of us. Glory to God.
Amen.
What's your name, sir?
Lee Little.
Say it again.
Lee Little.
Lee Little.
Laverne.
And you're Laverne Little. Amen. Father, I thank you for Lee. I thank you for loving him. I thank you for bringing him to this place and speaking into him.
Praise God.
According to your divine purpose, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Lee, you're at that point where you feel like things are rather winding down. You're expecting to go into a time of rest, but God's going to change all that. You have ahead of you the busiest, most exciting time of your life. At this moment, because you're thinking rather in different terms, that doesn't sound so appealing to you. But when you get into it, you say, "I wouldn't have missed this for the world. I wouldn't have missed this for the world." By the way, all those experiences that you've had that you feel like have been bad experiences, well, at least they've given you understanding and maturity, and out of that, you'll be able to minister into those who are going through the same struggle that you're going through. Glory to God. The word of wisdom will flow through you in great authority and power. And those who receive it will know that it's not just a word of wisdom that comes from God, but it also comes out of a heart that has had experience. And so they'll trust you and that word that God has put within you. Father, I speak into Lee, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, in the name of Jesus, Lord of God. Praise God. Father, I thank you for Laverne. I thank you for loving her. I thank you for speaking into her according to your divine purpose, in the name of Jesus. Laverne, we're coming into a time when those who are coming into the kingdom are coming from a somewhat different background than we're accustomed to. That is, they come from no background, no spiritual background. Most of those that we have dealt with in the especially the recent past have been those with a little spiritual, at least religious background. But those who are coming in will have no background. And the Word of God says that the elder women are to teach the younger women very simple things. How to love their husbands, love their children, how to be keepers of their home. And you'll be able to do this with great effectiveness because you've learned by the Word, and then you've learned by experience. And you'll be able to tell them, "Listen, what you're reading in that Word works." Go to God. So your good time is ahead of you.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I speak into Laverne.
Yes.
That word of wisdom. That word of knowledge.
in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Brother, you ever slept on a feathered mattress?
Yes.
You know how you get a feathered mattress and it's hard to make up. Well, you just got to keep patting it until you get it just right. Well, in the spirit, what I see you doing is you're getting ready to make you a real comfortable place for rest. And how you would get your seat and your chair all ready and your pillow all ready and get ready to go back into a lounging position. But God says, that's what you would do. He says, but I've got other things for you to do, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, I'm not ready for you to retire. I'm ready for you to refire, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he said, I'm going to build up a fire on the inside of you. And I'm going to start bringing the words for a stirring in you. And he says, because I brought you all this way, not to leave you. Often you thought you'd just been left on the corner. And he says, but I'm getting ready to pack you up and to move you out, saith God. I'm getting ready to take and use you like I've wanted to use you in a long time. He says, but the things in your earlier life, you always had things that would sit in order that I could not get around. He says, but now those things are moved to the side. And he says, now it's time for you, saith Lord. He says, and even so, he says, I want to bring you up a point of you having to get you some spiritual right guard. He says, because I'm fixing to use you. There's going to be some things that's going to break down. And he says, but I'm going to lift you back up and use you. He says, because it's time for refinement and refiring, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, I just ask you to just use my brother immensely in the road that you're about to carry him. And Father, I see his wife as just being a helpmate and an encourager, walking along beside him and not behind him. But Father, and as they minister together in a special way, thank you for that anointing of the Holy Ghost to be with them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen,
amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Just minister to him. Amen. Brother Glenn.
For yea, because I have chosen those to be sentinels to guard the beloved. Quit you like men, saith the Spirit. Stand fast in the faith, because you've taught my people not to break rank. Therefore, the army of the Lord will not break rank. Hallelujah. And there'll be those that I've called, yea, that have shirked their responsibility and their rank. But in the days ahead, you'll see, my son, that I will gather a great network and an army of the progression of my strength.
Yeah.
And the anointing of the army of the Lord shall harmonize with what I've called you to do.
Yeah.
For you're a sentinel to my people.
Yeah.
And the glory of the Lord hath rebuked the devourer.
Thank you.
And the anointing of my peace shall be upon thee.
Hallelujah.
For thy heart, yea, has sought my face. And the Lord is pleased. Therefore, I'm the rewarder of them that diligently seek me, saith the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you,
Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Speak healing to you.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus,
yes.
From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Father, we just ask you to heal every part of this body. In the name of Jesus, we speak strength, Father. Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
You're not looking for doors of opportunity. You feel like, well, you have enough of those. But God says, yet there are doors of opportunity. And by the way, when he opens a door of opportunity, generally he expects you to go through it, but he said it's not so in this case. There will be many doors, but you'll have a choice. Many doors that you've not looked for, but you'll have a choice. You can choose whither and you can choose which, God says.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. It's a very effective time that's ahead of you. You felt your ministry building up to kind of a crescendo, and you're going to see the real power of this thing in the days ahead.
Hallelujah.
I receive it, Father.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Lord.
Glory to God.
Brother Glenn, as I stand beside you here, you might not be old enough to know what I'm talking about, but have you ever seen a cobweb broom? They're about 8 foot long, 8 feet tall, and on the end of it's a broom, and it's for reaching in the high 10 and 12 foot ceilings and getting the cobwebs out. Well, God says, I'm going into your spirit with this big high broom. He says, because there's been cobwebs on your vision. And there's even been cobwebs in your vision that you thought that I forgot about, saith the Lord. And he said, I've not forgot about them. He says, but I want to reach in with this big, tall broom, and I want to clean out these cobwebs, and I want to bring a light into that room and let this light shine upon what I have placed into your mind. And often the devil would come and said, oh, that's just you thinking that, and that's just you thinking this. And he said, no, that was me placed out there. And that's why it stayed there, and it burnt there, and that's why you cried about it, because a lot of people would not understand. He says, but if you'll allow me to go in with my swab and clean out these cobwebs, he says, you'll see the glory come forth. Say,
thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, there are just a couple more people I want to minister to. My sister right back here in a dark blue dress. And then right here, you have a T-shirt on that the top word is fixed. I don't quite understand the rest of that. Amen. Amen. Both of you, please come. We want to minister to you. And then, by the way, we'll let everybody go. I've met you before.
Yes, you have.
Yes.
Yes, several times.
Yes.
It's a blessing.
Praise God. Where have we met?
Monroe, Louisiana.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Changes. Changes. You have recently gone through some very great changes. They have been somewhat disturbing to you, and you felt that others were not acting in agreement with God's will and purpose for your life. But really, they were. God, He didn't intend for them to have the attitude they had. But He intended what happened to happen, because He's bringing you to a place to start anew. A new start. A fresh beginning. Now, it won't seem like that at first. In fact, I hear you saying in your mind, "Well, here we go again. This is the same routine." But it's not. It's the same kind of beginning, but it's a new beginning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.